I just want to assure all of you, God still answers prayers. I know this for a fact because it snowed yesterday morning. I pray for snow every day. Every day it falls from the sky as a reminder that God answers prayers. I'm sure there are farmers who are mad at me. A few of them even took me aside and scolded me for it. I reminded them there are a lot more of them than there are of me. What are they praying for? But, you know, it's not that I'm trying to make things harder for the farmers. It's quite the opposite. I pray for the fruitful harvest. But, you know, I got snow yesterday. It's the earliest snowfall recorded in the city of Rockford on this day in October. It was the most exciting thing I had heard all morning. It was this beautiful and great reminder of God's great love for us. I'm fascinated by these readings. There's something beautifully curious about our vineyard. The challenges that come along with it. It's not like every other crop. In so many ways, I tried to learn some of these things, but I really only learned them to a limited degree. But vineyards for wine, they take several seasons before they actually produce anything that you can actually turn into a useful wine. So you have to actually develop a good vine and then take a section of that vine and then try and repose it in other places and really try and grow something incredible. Because wild grapes do not make good wine. They're too sour and something about their acidic content that just doesn't seem to work out very well. So it takes an incredible amount of dedication to try and develop a vineyard. And yet, here it is, we have these two vineyards and you have two great landowners. You know, Isaiah makes reference to one, Jesus makes reference to the other. They pour themselves into this vineyard. And it's a great gift in what it is. I'm thinking about recognizing the gift and seeing it for what it is. I was thinking about my family. Growing up, I shared a room with two little brothers. And before there were two little brothers, I shared a room with my older brother. So no matter what age I was sharing a room with some brother until I was at least 16 years old. And we had this enormous bin of Legos. And by enormous, I mean we could actually bury one of my brothers in Legos and completely make him disappear. We tried. It was actually really fun. So we had this enormous amount of Legos. And if you can't remember what a Lego is, just turn off the light and imagine a hot poker poking you through the bottom of the foot when you walk through the dark. And you will remember what a Lego is perfectly. But I was playing with Legos. And sure enough, as I start playing with it, you know, both my little brothers come over and they start playing as well because that seems to be the inevitable way of things. And I remember I broke three or four things, maybe five or six, and I was focused on one and I was playing with it. And I seemed to be enjoying myself and having a good time with it. But I remember one of my brothers picking up one of the Legos that I had assembled and began to play with it. Seconds before, I didn't even want it. It wasn't even on my attention span. But sure enough, the moment my brother picked it up and wanted to play with it, immediately I knew that was the one I needed to have in my hand right then and there. And I don't know what possessed me to do this, but I got up and, like any good brother, I went over to my brother who had taken this thing from me and I smashed him in the head with the Lego that I was holding in my hand. And then I looked up and there was my mother standing staring at me. So, you know, it was a wonderful moment for a lot of reasons. But I bring this up to you, you know, not just as a random event that occurs in life, but actually something far more profound is to see the gift in front of us and to recognize the gifts that are being given and outpoured in so many ways. We have this incredible description of a vineyard. And not only is the vineyard present, but the vineyard takes a ton of work. And yet, in both instances, all of the work is done. The wine press is made, the tower is built, the hedge is made. Why? Because animals can't wander around through the vineyard. It disrupts the plants. You can't have wild animals wandering through you. You actually have to keep the hedge going. The watchtower is in place to make sure that nobody's trying to steal your vines. You have to put all these pieces together in place to really make it work well. And yet, all of the work is done. And a great gift is given to the tenants. A great gift is given to the house of Israel. This truly remarkable gift has been poured out. And here it is. And then the time comes when we're expected something. You know, the tenants, through no work of their own, they have this vineyard, they have all the pieces. Harvest time comes and realize that the landowner is fully entitled to every single thing that comes out of that harvest. It's his. And yet, the practice of the day was that the landowner would take a portion of the produce. The large portion, but it's his. He would leave a portion for the tenants so they could trade with it, barter with it, build it, use it, whatever they needed. Remember, you could turn parts of grapes into oil and vine and fruit and wine. I mean, grapes actually serve a many number of purposes. And all they do, the landowner takes a portion, the tenants get to keep a portion, and they get to work the land. That's how the agreement works. And so he sends his servants to take his portion of the produce. It's not that he's trying to rob them. He's entitled to it. It's his. The tenants who have taken, who have just looked after it for a while, suddenly pull back. And they suddenly are unwilling to share this. And as I look at this and reflecting on this genuinely, one of the things that strikes me as most amazing is how we come to the gifts that we have and how we come face to face with the incredible and remarkable gifts that we have received. Consider for a moment that through no decision of your own and without any consultation with you, you were brought into this world and given that great gift of life. And by all means, come back and correct me if I'm wrong, but as far as I know, none of us were actually stopped and asked if we actually wanted to be born. That was a gift given to us before we could ever make a decision. And we were given incredible gifts from that very start, from that very earliest moment, without meriting any of them. We have these truly remarkable gifts. I've never met a person I thought that was without gifts. Each and every one of them, I'm amazed at the beautiful gifts that they receive, and truly receive them without actually having any reason to merit them at first. And from there, we cultivate some of them. We sharpen and hone and get better at certain things, maybe not every gift that we have, but we grow them and we make them even more fruitful, and we produce and we make something truly remarkable. And then the moment comes where God asks us to share our gift. God asks of us to share with what we have, to enrich and build up and make better our friends and our family and our neighbors and our community and our nation. And we have so many incredible gifts for this. And I'm not even referring to just things that monetarily build us up or building skills. I'm talking each and every one of our gifts. Remember that every gift of art and beauty and all of them build us up and make us something greater. The challenge remains that we have this very strong warning within a vineyard. And with all the gifts that we've been given, with all the gifts that we've received, with all the gifts that we've been able to cultivate and develop and grow and nourish and make something of, what are we doing to share them? And what are we doing to share them with the one who gave them to us? Never underestimate that God gave us these great gifts. But now the question becomes, how are we giving back? How are we giving of these gifts that we have received? Because it stands as something very important to us. Because as God sends, you know, the parable with Jesus, you know, he sends his servants, and he sends more numerous servants. They're the prophets. They're the prophets who tell the people, said, we need to turn back to God. We need to be following after God. We need to be pursuing God and developing our relationship with God. If we're not doing that, we're rejecting the gifts that we've received. We're not even developing them fully. If we're developing our gifts, then we have to recognize a part of that is recognizing where they come from, that great gift that is God's. And finally, he sends his son, this great reminder of where it all comes from and where it's all going. And if we don't embrace that, instead if we reject it and we turn it away, why would we expect these gifts to remain ours? There's a tendency to try and look at the things that we have built up in our lives and we kind of circle around and say, well, these things are mine. You know, I've worked hard for this, I built this, it's me, it's me, it's me. And to a part, that's true. But where did it start? It's kind of like the scientist who approaches God and says, you know what, God, I really don't need you anymore. I can do everything. I can even create stuff. And God says, fine, create a man. And the scientist pulls out some dirt and begins to build it. And he says, no, get your own dirt. It's that great reminder, it all comes from someone. Even the pieces that we build up too actually have to start from somewhere. So there's two challenges in this gospel. The first is to see the gifts that we have. To recognize the gifts that we have received, not just to look at others and say, gosh, that person's really good at this and that person's really good at that, but truly recognize the gifts that we ourselves have received and to thank God for them, to see the very thing in our hand that has been given to us. The second challenge is how are we going to share it with others? How can we help others to be enriched by these gifts? To make for greater communities, to make for better friends and families and neighbors and a whole better parish life. Because in fulfilling that, we have to bear in mind that there is a warning on the other side of this. There is a very stark warning that says on the other side, what are you supposed to do to the tenants who have no business respecting where it comes from? How do you think the tenants should be treated? And of course, Jesus poses this to the chief priests and the scribes and the elders of the people, and he's warning them that this is them. And yet he says, what do you think should happen to these tenants? And they said, well, they should all die. Kill them off and start over. And of course, there's a part Jesus has to go, well, that's an idea. Do you really understand how that goes? Never underestimate that at a certain point, God has to ask, do you recognize that these gifts are from? And what are you doing to grow them up?